Hello, and welcome to the Power Your Advice podcast, brought to you by Advisorpedia. In this series, we interview innovators from across the financial services industry to help you understand who they are, what they do, and why that matters to you and your clients. And now, please join your host, Doug Heikkinen.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. Bill Cates is widely recognized as one of the foremost experts in the art and science of acquiring new clients through referrals and personal introductions. He's the president of Referral Coach International, the founder of Cates Academy for Relationship Marketing, and the host of his very popular podcast, TopAdvisorPodcast.com. Bill was recently rated as the number one financial advisor influencer by Indigo, and he's a best-selling author, which is why we're here, coming to speak to us about his latest book, The Language of Referrals. Welcome, Bill. So glad we could do this.
Hey, Doug, thank you. And just to make sure no one's mistaken, you didn't say Bill Gates. It's Bill Cates. I missed it by a few billion brain cells and a few billion dollars. But what's a billion dollars here or there among friends, right?
It is. And okay. Another book about referrals and introductions. So why did you write The Language of Referrals? And what's in this book that isn't in the others?
Yeah. So what stops a lot of people from being appropriately proactive with referrals and introductions is a lack of confidence. And sometimes that comes from not knowing what to say. I mean, people just say, well, what do I say? What should I say? And so that's what this is all about. This is all the words, exactly what you want to say to become more referable, to ask appropriately without looking like the cheesy referral guy. And so what happens is, if someone gets the right words, words they can tailor to their own personality, then all of a sudden a strategy like asking for introductions that was not available to them before becomes available. So this is a very tactical book, giving you, it's a blueprint, a roadmap, whatever metaphor you want to do, to knowing exactly what to say in just about every situation related to referrals and introductions.
You've been teaching financial advisors how to multiply their clients through referrals and introductions for almost 30 years now. Has the principles, strategies, tactics changed over the decades? Has people's willingness to ask changed?
Yeah, so it's a great question. Principles in any area rarely change. Principles are truths or, basic dynamics that don't change much. And so the principles around referrals and introductions haven't really changed. You still have to be referable. If you're going to be proactive, you have to be appropriately proactive. You still want to get connected, introduced. What has changed a little bit is, the two biggest ones I would say are the fact that people are now on Zoom, virtual, right? For some advisors, it's a lot of their meetings, some it's half of their meetings, some it's a few of their meetings, but that's probably not going away. And so that's changed things a little bit. And that's sometimes, especially with new clients, takes a little bit longer to build a relationship with Zoom. Not quite the same when you're in the same room together. Don't usually have as much time on those calls quite often. So it takes a little longer sometimes. Now, the actual asking, what it would sound like, what you would do, exactly the same. But the building of the relationship takes a little longer. And then, with the do not call regulations that came out a while ago and just the increasing difficulty it is to reach people, to get through to folks these days, because they don't pick up their phone if they don't know who you are. Even if they know who you are, they might not pick up their phone. So we got to think in terms of introductions, connections. So we've been emphasizing the importance of getting connected, that the conversation around this is not done until we've negotiated or arranged for an effective introduction to that new prospect.
You make the distinction between referrals and introductions. Is there a difference, and what word should we be using?
So in my mind, there's a bit of a difference. The way referrals have often been referred to as a referred lead, right? Call George, use my name. Well, George doesn't know who you are. He's not picking up the phone. He's wondering why his friend's giving his name out, right? It's just so hard to reach folks, right? As I've already said. So we do want to get an introduction. And so therefore we should use the word that represents what we want, right? If we want to get connected, if we want to get introduced, then with prospects, with clients, with centers of influence, anyone has the ability to connect with others, we want to make sure we use the word introduction. Now, you and I and people I coach and whatnot behind the scenes, we can use the word referral, sure. But when we're with you know, client facing, if you will. We want to make sure we use the word that represents what we really want.
So why the title of this book, The Language of Referrals? What's that about?
Yeah, good question, huh? It seems like a disconnect. Well, the first rule of marketing is use words, concepts, phrases that are already in the heads of the audience, right? You don't want to introduce a new concept that they don't understand that's going to make them pause or think and wonder what that is. And that you'll lose people that way. So everyone understands what a referral is. And so when I say, especially in financial services, and this book is specifically for financial advisors, they get that, right? Now, in the book, I do talk about the distinction, as I just covered, but if I called the book The Language of Introductions, there might be a little pause. What does he mean by that? And so I'm using the word that's already in the brain, and then I'm shifting and letting people know what I really mean by that. And that's important for really any advisor building a website or a LinkedIn profile or anything like that. For instance, advisors like to say, hey, we're a fiduciary. Well, most people don't know what that means. And so you're using a term that could create confusion, could be off-putting because it sounds like you're talking down to them. So if you ever do use a term, a word, a phrase, anything that you know isn't readily residing at the front of someone's brain, you better define it quickly. And so that's why, you know, in the subtitle of the book, I kind of define it a little bit further. And yeah, so hence the slight disconnect between what I just said around referrals and introductions.
I believe you divided the language of referrals into six parts. Maybe you can give us a quick overview and then we can dive a little deeper into each of those six.
Yeah, it'd be great. So part one is the inner language of referrals, meaning the self-talk, the limiting beliefs, mistaken assumptions, unproductive stories we tell ourselves that keep us from producing the results we want, the inner language. The second one is the language of referability. How do we become more referable? What are some things we can say to prospects, the clients, long-term, brand new, whatever, that will increase that referability, or maybe I should say introducibility. See, that's a hard word to say. That's why we sometimes stay with the word referrals. Part three is promoting. How do we, the language of promoting, encouraging, I often call it planting seeds for introductions down the road. Part four is the asking. This is what makes everybody nervous, right? How do I do it without looking like that creepy referral guy? So the language of asking, that's the longest part of the book, as you might imagine, because there's a lot of different scenarios we cover and different ways to ask. And then the fifth one is the language of concerns or objections. How do you deal with someone says, you know, I don't want to give referrals, or I want to talk to them first, and all of that. And we don't have a heavy-handed approach to this. A lot of times you're just going to back off. So we give you the language of backing off. And then the last one, which is pretty important, as I alluded to before, and that is the language of introductions. In other words, how do we turn that willingness to refer, that willingness to connect into an actual connection? What are the words we use with the client, as well as what might the client say to their friend, family member in that email introduction or however they introduce us? So those are the five parts of the book.
Six parts. Yes. Let's start with the top, the language, the inner language of referrals. What is that? Is that like, oh my gosh, should I do it? Should I not do it? Give us an example.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a few. So one of them is I think about the lifetime value of my clients, right? So is that the language? Is that your thing? Lifetime value? Well, most advisors get this wrong, right? They think the lifetime value of a client is the business they can do with them over a lifetime, which can be substantial in a lot of cases, but that's only part of the equation. The other part of the equation, if you have the right self-talk, thinking, awareness, is who they can introduce you to over a lifetime. But if you're not thinking that, if you're not talking to yourself about that, if you will, then you're going to miss a lot of those opportunities. I'll give you one more. And there's a lot of them, but the one I want to feature is, you know, if I just serve the heck out of my clients, they'll introduce me, right? Just great service, great experiences. And that's also kind of half true in the sense that, yeah, you got to do that. And the better you are at that, the better experiences you create for your clients, the more unsolicited referrals or introductions you're going to get, and the more receptive these people will be to a request. And that will create incremental growth. Right? Every advisor should be growing incremental incrementally with unsolicited referrals or introductions. It's that next step of being proactive, which will turn incremental growth into exponential growth. So yeah, serve the heck out of your clients. That's important, but that's not the full story. So that's just a couple of examples of the inner language that we have to deal with.
One of the reasons advisors work with you is to increase their referability. What do you mean by becoming referable? And what are some examples of that in the language of referability?
Yeah, so Julie Littlechild out of Toronto, Canada, does great research around this every year. And she's discovered that while satisfied clients are loyal and they stick with you, there's a low correlation between client satisfaction and the providing referrals, making introductions. What we need to do is create engaged clients. And my definition of an engaged client is someone who feels connected, engaged with your value, and someone feels connected with you as a person. So your value connection, the questions you ask, the things you teach, the information you provide, your responsive service, all of that make up a value connection. And all advisors are doing this to a certain degree, for sure. And then the personal connection, likability, trust, the things that you talk about that go beyond the core work that you do. And again, most advisors are pretty good at this, but very few think in terms of, this is how I need to stay in touch with my clients from the very beginning through the entire client journey. How do we keep staying in touch that provides value? How do we keep staying in touch that creates that and enhances that personal connection? And the secret sauce to advocates, the folks who become advocates for our business, is that business friendship. I put air quotes on that, right? It's a different kind of friendship, but it's a business friendship. Now, sometimes you create real good friends that way, but it's mostly a business friendship. And so you've got to always be thinking of both. You can't just be thinking of one, because if someone sees your value, but doesn't like you, trust you, care about you, they're not going to do business with you. They're not going to refer you, introduce you to others. If someone really likes you, but they don't see your value, same thing. Right. So you got to have both of those things going at the same time.
Do you find most advisors aren't as proactive as they could be or even want to be? And if so, why is that?
Oh yeah. In fact, most of the people that come to me for we have online training, we have coaching, things like that. Most of the folks that come to us say, well, first of all, they say, how do I do it without looking like that creepy referral guy, which I've already talked about. And a lot of them feel guilty. It's like they know they're sitting on a goldmine of opportunity. They're getting some unsolicited. They know their clients love them, the work that they do, but they just haven't put in place some of the things, some of the proactivity that will stimulate that a little bit more. It's really, Doug, it's creating a culture. It's a culture of introductions. And so because they haven't done that, then they realize there's missed opportunity. And sometimes the folks who come to me, veteran in the business, they've hired someone, maybe someone younger, someone newer, in the business to become the rainmaker, or to bring a little more youth into the practice or whatever. And so they need them to get better at that as well. You know, why are people not proactive in this? Well, a lot of mistaken thinking around this. The bottom line is lack of confidence, but it stems from they don't want to hurt a relationship. They feel like, you know, if I do it the wrong way, it's going to somehow make the client feel uncomfortable. They don't want to look needy, right? Unsuccessful. All of that can be handled with the right approach. So it's okay to feel those things, but we know that there are solutions to those things as well. So again, it's confidence. So you learn a process that's proven. I know I teach that. There's other processes out there. I'm not saying mine's the only way, but you learn a process that's proven, and then you practice. And that's what a lot of folks don't do in this business. They practice their golf game more than they practice their profession. And it's you know, repeated exposure to ideas is the mother of learning, and practice is the father of learning. And that's ultimately what it takes, is to want it bad enough so you'll put yourself through the effort to make it happen.
What's the difference between promoting introductions and asking for introductions?
Yeah, so promoting is encouraging. I often call it planting seeds, because it's things you can do now and throughout a relationship that will create that culture, stimulate. Asking is outright asking. So examples of promoting, I've got a book of this title. I didn't invent this phrase, but I've been promoting it forever in this industry, and that is, don't keep me a secret. Don't keep us a secret. Don't keep the important work we do a secret. A lot of advisors say this, hey, we're never too busy to see if we can be a resource for others that you care about. And that's good. It has its place. Teaching people how you would handle a referral, an introduction, someone, if they thought of someone, what would that look like so they'd feel comfortable? These are lots of different ways of promoting, teaching your clients who you serve the best, who the best type of connection would be. That's another way of promoting. So you make sure you get the right type of introductions and referrals coming into your business. So that's promoting. But the asking is beyond that. The asking is specifically speaking with a client, center of influence, sometimes a prospect, and talking about other people they know, hoping that they can think of someone, or maybe you've thought of someone that you can talk about right on the spot. So that's kind of the difference between promoting and asking.
Here's something I really want to know. Not all advisory clients like to participate in the referral introduction process. It's, you know, it's about money. So they're like, What are some of those reasons, and how can the language of referrals mitigate some of that resistance?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. It's a good one. So what we found, and I've been doing this for 30 years, the two main reasons, there's lots of reasons, but the two main ones, the primary ones that we can deal with, are people concerned about confidentiality. Even if you may talk about the fact that things are confidential, they don't always put two and two together. And then what is it going to look like? How are you going to handle it? They may think that giving you referrals is giving you names and phone numbers and you calling those people, because maybe that happened to them once in the past. So without knowing how you're going to handle it, it's an unknown and therefore can be a perceived risk. Now, some clients aren't afraid of those things. That's why some will do this. But you'll get a lot more to do this if you address those two prevalent concerns. And so we give the language in the book around that, and I'll give it to you really fast here. It's something like this. It says, Doug, a lot of folks like to introduce the work we do to others they care about. And I just thought if that opportunity ever presented itself to you, you know how we'd handle it, what it would look like, so you'd feel comfortable. First of all, the work you and I do, completely confidential. We can't, we never will reveal that to friends, family, anybody. We can't cross that line. Second of all, we handle this sort of thing with great care, meaning I'm not just going to call people from out of the blue and surprise them and make them wonder, why did Doug give my name out to this guy? Nobody likes to get that kind of call anymore. So you and I will talk about it. We'll craft an approach that feels comfortable to you and feels comfortable to them. And, you know, I guess if we're lucky, you might spark their interest in talking to me. How does that sound? That's an easy yes for you, because I'm not really asking yet, but I'm teaching you what it would look like. And in that process, I'm addressing the two main concerns that so many clients do have: confidentiality, handle with care. What's it going to look like? I do recommend very strongly that everybody, at least with your B+, A clients, anyone who want to give you recommendations, introductions, that you have this quick conversation with them. Doesn't hurt a relationship, plants a very nice seed. And don't be surprised if it turns into opportunities right on the spot, just because you've introduced it into the conversation.
So you have a formula for how advisors can talk to their clients who are reluctant. Do you want to share a little bit of that?
Yeah. And this works really in any kind of objection, in any situation in life, except for teenagers, because there's nothing that, you know, with teenagers, nothing good, solid reasoning won't aggravate further. So the key, the problem with, you know, objections, concerns, is most people just come right up with a rebuttal, right? You can have a rebuttal, you can have a reframe, but don't start with that. So the first two steps in the formula, right on the heels of each other, is acknowledge and explore, acknowledge and seek to understand. So if someone says, you know, I don't like to give referrals, that's fine. I know some people don't. I'm curious. Can you tell me more? Magic words, can you tell me more? Or it could be, that's fine, could you tell me more? Have you had a bad experience with this sort of thing? So you need to earn the right to share your perspective by listening to their perspective first. Once you do that, then you can say, you know, I have a little different take on this. Would you mind? And they go, well, okay, because they've been heard, they've been listened to. Too often we yes but people. And what we need to do is yes and explore. If we can reframe their thinking, maybe they didn't realize they could talk to their friend first or shoot them an email first before you reach out. They didn't think about it that way. And that's a reframe. And then all of a sudden, you know, you could get a one or two introductions. And sometimes you have to back off. And probably more times than not, you will have to back off but you want to do it gracefully. You want to do it professionally. You don't want to walk away with your tail between your legs.
So what's left in the process? It's getting introduced, right? How about a sample of that in the language of introductions?
Yeah, so a little bit of language here. So the first little bit of language is, you know, let's say, Doug, that you're going to introduce me to your sister and brother-in-law. I'm going to say, well, Doug, let's talk about how you introduced me to them. Let's make sure we come up with an approach that's going to feel comfortable for them and for you. And, you know, if we're lucky, maybe sparks their interest in meeting with me. So that's some language, is introducing the fact that we're not done until we talk about the connection. You know, how would you like to introduce me to them? Let's talk about how you introduced me to them. That's very important. Gosh, there's a lot of ways the language come into play. I personally love an email introduction, email handshake, where it says, you know, Laura, meet Bill. You know, he's done some great work for me. Here's why I'm introducing you. Bill, meet Laura. She's my sister. I love her. Great gal. I'm married to a great guy. You know, hope you guys connect. Something like that. That's not a bad way to get introduced. We have various templates in the book around that. One thing I do want to cover quickly is, let's say a client says, well, no, I really do want to talk to them first, right? They really do want to make that connection. And that's fine. Sometimes a client knows exactly what they need to say to their friend to get their friend interested. What you don't want to do is you don't want to just leave it to chance. So I would say to you, Doug, I'd say, well, it sounds like you want to be careful. And I appreciate that. What do you think you would say to her to get her interested? And, you know, how do you think she'll respond to this? A great question to ask is, what's going on in his life, her life, their life that's important to them right now? Because you want the introduction to be relevant. And since money intersects all aspects of one's life, whatever is important to them right now could be the reason why you're making that introduction, could be how you follow up to that introduction. And now you have a more relevant connection, which is more likely going to spark the interest of that new party. So that's a little bit around the language of introductions.
That's good. When I got my copy of your last book, Radical Relevance, you encouraged the reader to register for the book to gain access to the Radical Relevance Toolkit. And gosh, there's a treasure trove of additional guides, checklists, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You've done the same with the language of referrals. What's the strategy behind that?
Yeah, the strategy is, I didn't want a book that was so large that people wouldn't read it. It does nobody any good, right? Yeah, okay, I make my 50 cents on the copy for selling it, but if you're not reading it and not using it, you know, it doesn't do you any good. So I wanted to have a book that wasn't too big, but I have a lot of other ideas and material and content that I want to get to the reader kind of on their own pace when they're ready. So in the Language of Referrals Toolkit, we're adding a success guide that kind of goes along with it, with some practice ideas and some just ways to implement what's in the book. I'm recording some new role play videos. We're going to have some videos of me actually doing this with people, and we'll do it virtually. We're going to record them with Zoom, so you can see it works just as well on Zoom as any other way. And all kinds of other guides, other language, things that have been developed since the book was you know, put to bed. And so, yeah, you get the book, The Language of Referrals, but then also it'll show you how to get to the Language of Referrals Toolkit and a whole lot more.
How can our listeners learn more about the new book and all the other tools you provide financial professionals?
I thought you'd never ask. So the book, languageofreferrals.com, www.languageofreferrals.com. And then my website, where we have a lot of complimentary, I have to say free, but valuable tools in addition, would be referralcoach.com/resources, referralcoach.com/resources. And from there, you get into all the things that we do and ways we help advisors.
Yeah, podcasts, blogs. I mean, it's endless what you have on your site.
Thank you.
Bill, thanks for joining us. This has been a real pleasure, and good luck with the book.
Hey, Doug, I really do appreciate that. I'm a huge fan of Advisorpedia. And not only do I appreciate you putting my items in there, but I read all the others that you put in there. I'm learning so much. So you have a great tool, and I appreciate to be part of it.
Well, thank you. Please follow us for timely updates on X, LinkedIn, and Facebook, all at Advisorpedia. For everybody at Advisorpedia, our producer, Julia Smolin, our engineer, Tori Miller, and the Power Your Advice podcast team, this is Doug Heikkinen.